We are in the first service, and it is the Gospel according to Mark. Couple things, if you are local and you don't have a church home, we are have started 6:30 on Wednesday nights. We're having a small group here. The other thing is, if you like these, like and share these videos we're doing. So God bless you. So Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen, which that makes sense. That's would make sense if you're throwing a net in. Then Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." And immediately they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And he immediately called to them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Guys, many years ago, there was a teacher that I was reading and listening to. And he took this scripture or this story, which is listed several times, okay? And because I've always, as I looked at that, and they just immediately dropped everything and followed, okay? And there's, this guy had a different view on it because he had studied the way males were brought up in Jewish society, the way they were taught, the way everything worked. So what would happen is you as a small, if you were a male in that society, as a young man, at some point, hopefully, if you were close enough, you would find a teacher to sit under because the priority of their lives was God, religion, the law, all those things. That was their priorities. It enveloped everything they did. So these guys would come and they would sit there for years under him and learn the word. And the teaching of the rabbi was called the yoke. Okay, it's what you walked, that's what you pulled. Okay. So, but the point I'm getting to today is this. The good students, which would not have been me at Camden High School, by the way. I was voted least likely to participate. Anyway, so, but the point being is the great students, the best students, the cream of the crop would be brought out and they would be able then to sit under a rabbi and hopefully become a teacher themselves. And that was the epitome of what you, that was the NBA, National Basketball Association. You know, that was the best it could get, okay? And then maybe if you were a mediocre student, maybe you could get a mediocre rabbi to come and help you a little bit. But the other rest of them is just like, okay, go back and start fishing, okay? So these guys had lived their life under that, and obviously they were not picked to be the students. They were not first-round draft picks. Does everybody know what that means when I say that? Okay. So they immediately, this is like a chance of a lifetime, okay? And they drop everything, and they call them and left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after Jesus. Now, Mark has really been wearing me out. Because I want you to think about the abandon in which they jumped into God's work. And I'm not by any means saying that everybody needs to be a pastor, everybody needs to be a teacher, everybody. No, what I'm talking about is God, it's a body. Remember, we talked about it last week. It's the body of Christ. It's some are the hand, some are the foot. No, that was actually Wednesday night, wasn't it? Okay, yeah. Now that I got another service, it's going to be even more confusing. Okay. So, for me, not for you. Okay. But here's the deal. The purpose that Jesus came here, as I was looking at this, and I was thinking, you know, and he taught, man. Jesus laid out some priorities. He laid out some, but he came here as a sacrifice for us. And what he's saying here is, hey, what I'm going to do is bring you, you follow me and you will be a fisherman of men. You are going to be someone who brings people into the fellowship. Okay, we don't eat one another. Okay, we don't bring the fish in and eat them. But guys, I want to tell you something. That's our purpose as a body of Christ, to give him glory first, of course. But if he came and his priority, guys, were people, then what are our priorities? And this convicted me, okay? So this guy, let's hold your mark and go to John chapter 21. And as I was studying this, this scripture came right to the top. It's called first chapter 21 is breakfast by the sea. And remember what Simon Peter has done. Simon Peter has literally, guys, he has denied Christ, the very thing he said he would never do. He has, and now he showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias on the way he showed himself. And this, and then skip down to 3. Simon Peter said to them, I give up. This is my version. Okay, I'm going back fishing. This didn't work. This did not work. This did not meet my quality expectations. I mean, he was the Messiah, and now he's, what are we going to do? Okay, this is not working. And then he, you know how it is. One guy has a bad idea and everybody follows him. And we are going with you also. And they went out immediately and got into the boat that they might, and they caught nothing. But in the morning, now come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? And they answered, no. And they said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. And they cast, and they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. And what did they say? It is the Lord. And I want to tell you something, guys. Being in his presence, and I'm really not talking about miracles. I'm not just being in his presence and knowing that he loves us and knowing that he's with us. It will cause you to jump out of the boat and go his direction. Because he was safety, security, because they were probably fairly prosperous as fishermen, okay? And he jumps out of the boat, put on his outer garment, which is interesting to me because you don't usually swim with your coat on, okay? Or, you know, if he took his shirt off to work or whatever, he was saying, I'm all in. Everything I've got's all in, okay? He plunged into the sea, and the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. And guys, I want to tell you, this reunion, this repurposing, this pointing him toward his purpose, and this, I just want you to listen to this restoration, because that's one of my favorite words in the English language is restoration. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Am I first place in your life? He did not say, hey, I want you to build me a bigger building. I want you to do something. I want you to do this. No, what did he say? He said, feed my lambs. And what he's talking about is the people of God, the people that are chosen, selected, preordained, predestined from the foundation of the earth to be with him. And you go, oh, Bruce, you're getting into all that. No, listen to me. I'm serious, guys, because Jesus, I read it this week, Jesus is looking at religious people and he's telling them it, and they're saying, no, you're the devil. You're the devil. And he's saying, look, the reason you think I'm the devil is because you're of the devil. Okay. And I realize that we preach the gospel to anybody that'll listen, but some people are not going to hear it, okay? But he says, do you love me more than all this other junk? Or that's, it doesn't say that, but you love me more than these. And he said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said, well, if you love me, then feed my lambs, which would have been a baby sheep, right? Okay. And he said him a second time, do you love me? And he said, tend to my sheep, take care of them, not just feed them, guide them, direct them, love them. And that's what God has called us to do. When he says, do you love me? And the third time he says, do you love me? And he says, now feed my grown-up sheep. So we got feeding the lambs, tending the sheep, all of them, and now feed all of them. Okay. So does everybody see where Jesus's priority, he came here to die for us, which we are people. Is anybody else in here perfect? Okay. I'm not. I'm solidly approaching just slightly below average. Okay. But the point being is this, guys. It's just very interesting. And as I jumped into this with both feet, because Mark drove me there. I love you, Mark, by the way, because you drive me here. Okay. So four scriptures and three of them in 1 John. And you go, well, Bruce, you're doing scripture scramble this morning. Well, yeah, whatever. Okay. So the first one is 1 John 2, verse 9. He who says he is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. He who hates his brothers is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he's going because darkness has blinded his eyes. We live in a time of division, of hate, of finger pointing, of all this stuff. And guys, I know we're not almost seeing in the whole, we are the world, we are the people. Was that the Pepsi commercial? Okay, anyway. But, and kumbaya, sometimes it's a little bit complicated. But here's the deal. In the spirit, I'll give you an example, okay? I met somebody recently that I had no idea was a Christian. I was in the marketplace. I had no idea they were a Christian. They had no buckles or stickers or jacket that said, look at me, I'm a Christian, nothing, okay? So I'm actually there to do some business. And guess what? Both of us began to pick up on the fact that we're kin to each other. That we're kin to each other. That he's actually my brother. We got the same dad. And as we're talking, all of a sudden he says something and I go, oh yeah, that's it. Okay. And he's from a totally different part of the country, doing a totally different part of the thing. But I want to tell you something. Immediately, we was like, hey, you need anything? Because we're brothers. Does that make sense? It was on both sides. It was simultaneous. And guys, I want to tell you, in the spirit, we are one. And we keep thinking, well, I don't know that person there, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, we need to stop that. We need to stop that, okay? But I want to tell you, we got a lot of people, and this scripture does not make me, it's not an exciting scripture. But it says that people are going to stand before the Lord and say, hey, we cast out demons. And he said, hey, I never knew you. But it's interesting to me that the way that they say it, we cast out demons in your name. So there's this power independent of covenant somehow, and I don't know how that works. I'm not even going to get into it. But here's the deal. You'll know they are Christians by what?
Their love
for one another. Because that's what it says. And Love is not a emotion. Okay, it's not a noun. It's a verb. And I don't get me, don't ask no English questions, please. So, but the point being, guys, is are we living that ourselves? And we can't, this is not a thing for me to point at. Oh, look at them, look at them. No, this is a scalpel to use on my heart. It's not a sword to beat my brother with, okay? So I want to do it right, okay? And then the second one is 1 John 3:16, which is interesting. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brethren. He's talking about the body of Christ. For whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in needs and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So what does it look like? Forbearance. Making the choice to love somebody when they don't do it exactly like you want them to. You know, being that I'm perfect and everything I do is perfect, it's complicated for me because, you know, I'm just kidding. So, you know, I'm kidding. So, that was 1 John. Yeah, I got that one. Now let's go to 4 and 20. It just keeps hitting me in the head, okay? So, maybe it's because I need it. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. Yeah, I'm gonna get a cup. I'm gonna get a little swig on that one. I love God, but you're a jerk, okay? And hates his brother, he's a liar. For he also does not love his brother whom he's seen. How can he love God whom he hasn't seen? And this commandment we have from him: he who loves God must love his brother also. Now, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, for fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. If we love him because he first loved us. Okay, so then John, the book of John, not 1 John, the book of John, 13. This is in red. Does that mean anything? Okay. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. The root word of disciple is discipline, okay? It's a choice if you have love for one another. Okay. They're going to know we're Christians when we love one another. And the second word, the first one, the name of this morning, by the way, I never get to the title, is in love and authority. Okay, so I've got two words this morning. The second word is authority. Okay, as we look at Mark chapter 1, verse 21. Then they went to Capernaum, and immediately on to the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out, and they were all amazed. So guys, I talk about authority in different venues, okay, other than church. sometimes I teach classes, and here's, I'm going to give you an easy thing to understand. So in Stone County, we elect one sheriff. There's only one sheriff in Stone County. Now, can you imagine if that sheriff, he was the only employee, he was the only person, he has to feed, make sure the prisoners are fed. He has to make sure somebody, he's answering the radio while he's trying to feed this, and he's then going on a call, and he's, can you imagine one person, of course, a lot happens here, okay? Mm-hmm. But can you imagine one person call? Well, I mean, he's the only elected sheriff.
Right.
He's the only one there is, okay? But what he has is deputies who come under, like I say, there's only one sheriff, who come under his authority. And when he, when the deputy that's graduated from the police academy and gets sworn in and shows up on the scene, I want you to hear what I'm saying. He has the same authority as the sheriff of that county. And you go, how's that possible? Because of the principle of authority. Because by law, he is his representative. I know the word is pronounced representative, but think about this. He represents him when he arrives, okay? His authority comes from a higher authority. And you go, well, you know, I'm not worthy to do. No, but listen, you're not. You are out in your flesh. You are not worthy at all. I'm not worthy. None of us are worthy. But the reality is there is one God, holy, righteous, and wonderful, King of kings, Lord of lords. He's actually, one of his names is the God of angel armies, okay? We'll let go of that path. I love it. So we'll stay out of it because we'll go da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Anyway, but the point being is this, guys, as we are made covenant sons and daughters of the Most High God, when you show up, God shows up. Now, don't be walking when you leave out of here and say, I'm going to create a world. I'm going to, no. Okay. It'd be like one of the deputies walking out and saying, I'm going to hire 16 people and we're going to write a check. No, he don't have that authority because he's under this authority. Do you see what I mean? Literally, guys. But that precept to me is the simplest way for somebody like me. I can understand that. The Bible says you are his ambassador. We are Christ's ambassadors. Okay? That's what the Word of God says. And an ambassador from France, if he's standing here right now, where he stands is France. You know, they talk about immunity and all that. The reason they have that is because where they are, that country is. So when you go into a sick person's house, when you go to work, when you are doing your day-to-day, you are taking the authority. You are taking, and we've been lied to. Who's number one liar is the devil. Okay, and a lot of times our flesh agrees with our devil. I'm not worthy. You're right. You're not worthy. It's been paid for by something that you were not worthy to even touch the hem of his garment. Okay, but guess what? When you do, you're healed. Okay, so watch this. Literally, as he says this, and remember at the other end of this of the Gospels, okay, when he's about to go back, he literally walks out with his disciples and says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Now, what he's talking about is not our final dwelling place, heaven. He's talking about in the heavenlies, demons, powers, principalities, and all that stuff. You go, well then why in the world better? Why? I mean, if we got all this authority, well, a couple of reasons. If I'd forgotten I had a bank account, or somebody told me, said, no, that's empty. Somebody lied to me and said that bank account is empty. I can never draw for that because I don't know how or don't remember where it's at or whatever. And Jesus paid the price for us. And this is not for us to say, look at me, look at me, look at me. What this is for is to be the grunt soldier in the trenches saying, I have the authority to be the man or the woman that God's called me to be. Sometimes I may act like the redneck that I am, okay? Sometimes I may do that, you know, and that's, hey, read the Bible. Read the Bible. Look at the men and women God used, okay? I mean, I am I've got two reading programs going on right now, one in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament. And my Old Testament reading I'm doing right now is when Jacob and Esau, and I mean, Jacob's mom is circumventing her own husband. And I mean, that's what he had to wear. That's where Jesus came from. Okay, that's the line of the Messiah. They're all, and then Jacob, yeah, that sounds good to me. Let's push that jerk over to the side. I mean, you know, that's what he's always had to work with. It's nothing new. What you see around you, what you see with people, it's nothing new, okay? And it's in my heart. But here's the reality is, guys, is that God, there is an awakening. There is a spiritual awakening happening right now on this earth. And he is saying, wake up. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. And you are his representatives. And guys, I'm looking forward to the day. And it's happened in this town before. I have walked out of my office when I had the office in this town. I still do, but I'm never there. But when I had a police office here, and I walked out, and people would say, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I think, oh, great, they're speeding in their neighborhood or whatever. And they'd come in my office, and they'd say, hey, this is going on, and I need prayer. And would stop and pray and cry out to God. And get, I'm going to tell you, in another town not too far from here, it was fought against, that whole attitude, that whole thing. But you know what? If I'm going to get fired, I want to get fired for doing something good.
That's right.
I mean, I got a lot of friends that's been fired for doing stuff bad. I really have. You know, they're still my friends, and they may be watching today. Good to see you. Anyway, but the point being is, here's the deal. Is God in charge or not?
Yes, he's in charge.
Okay, he's in charge. And here's the deal. Literally, guys, as we look at this scripture, I want us to represent him in our day-to-day to be the man, be the woman God's called you to be, okay? And here's the deal. He will lead you and direct you. And as I was studying this, as I saw my failures in this area of love, as I see my, because, you know, I was raised in a perfectionist situation and legalist / perfectionist. And so don't get me wrong. If you need any help knowing what's wrong with you, I can tell you. Okay. But anyway, but remember, I have to look at myself first. And the bottom line, it's kind of interesting. But guys, watch this. In the middle of that, God says, I am the God who is enough for you to be, for you to do, to you to walk the path. Remember what he says in this scripture. We're back in Mark now. Follow me. It's a path. Okay. Remember my plan. It was simple. My plan was simple. Cut out the middleman. Okay. Prayer line, I pray for everybody, they fall down, they're fixed, and then we go on with our lives. I like it, okay? But guess what? God, that's not what he's doing. What God's doing is grinding, and then The next day, right? Just that sanding, that grinding, that polishing, that turning up the heat, and he's making us into what he's called us to be. And you say, well, Bruce, what's the end of all this? His kingdom coming, his will being done on earth and in heaven. And it's happening. And you say, well, this whole world's a mess. Yes, it is. It's because we're involved in it. But here's the deal. No, I'm serious. But here's the deal. Well, what about this? What about that? This person's doing this. This person's doing this. Listen, I think we minimize Jesus when we say, well, that person can't, he ain't quite good enough. You know, he don't do this right. He does this. He mows his grass on Saturday or Sunday, which Saturday's really Sunday. Sunday's really Saturday. You know, all that. You know, you start getting into all that. But before long, it's like, here's the deal. None of us are worthy. Not one. Only one, actually, is worthy. And he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So, guys, feed the lambs around you. Tend to the sheep around you. Feed the sheep around you. Love one another if you love him. And guys, love is a verb. It's what you're doing, not what you're thinking. Okay? It's not an emotion. I like emotions, you know. I hear this is not a joke when I say this, people think I'm kidding. I hear the national anthem like at a ball game. And I put my hand over my, take off my hat, put my hand over my heart. And I have emotions. But I want to tell you something, those emotions is not going to keep, if back when I was 18, those emotions is not, it was the action of me joining the military to go, to making the choice to do that, to making the choice to support my country, to making the choice. And here's the deal, guys, emotions are important. They're part of all of us. But sometimes, you might get irritated in this life. Anybody else ever slightly get irritated? Okay, and everybody shaking their head no, or kinda. Some of y'all are saying kinda. So, but the bottom line is this, make the choice to love one another. And guys, thank you so much for listening this morning. God bless you and keep you. Let his light shine on me. I'm gonna get out of this because I could go another lap, but I won't. Father, thank you so much for these people. Help us, God, to be the men and women that you've called us to be. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Be cranking it back up in about another 45 minutes. See you, bye.